Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Who should the next NXT call-ups to the WWE main roster be? I'm Ollie Davis, this is El Fagador Laurie Blake. Welcome to the Saturday edition of the Wrestle Ramble. Well, it's a little bit looser. It's the magazine show. We've got crap gimmicks coming up for you.
Wahey.
We've got your Twitter questions that I just, you know, put a call out for because I forgot how Luke usually does it. I don't know how he gets the questions. And
Luke
we'll
makes
be,
them up. They're just ones he wants to know.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be talking
masquerade
at the start about, because it's, you know, it's the week after SummerSlam and Raw and SmackDown happened and there weren't any NXT call-ups.
No.
And I'm not heartbroken about this because I kind of want everyone to stay in NXT.
I want them to stay in NXT, and I also want Raw and SmackDown to be forced to play with the toys they've already got. You already got one. It's called Sanity. Play with it.
Yeah, you broke all the toys we gave you last time. You fix those first, and then we'll give you some more. It can't just be this continuous feeding up thing.
If I was Triple H, I would lock the Performance Center and Full Sail University so that the cast of NXT cannot get out.
Yeah, yeah. Or yet, they can't get out, but more importantly, Vince McMahon, Michael Hayes, they can't get in.
Yeah.
So like a, well, not that WWE have good Hell in a Cell structures that stop people getting out.
No.
People always get into those things.
What about if it was a Punjabi prison?
Well, it's still reinforced bamboo.
Yeah.
That people still mostly get into.
What about if it was a steel cage?
Didn't the Singh brothers just go through one of the gaps?
Yeah. Steel cage, Hell in a Cell. Around the cell, a Punjabi prison.
Yeah, Kane would probably still find a way to burst through the ring canvas.
Yeah, that's it.
So, what we've done is we've both come. Well, I came up with my ones, and then you were forced to.
I was forced to pick around, and you did all the obvious ones. So I've gone for different
obvious
choices.
Obvious ones. I think these are inspired.
Shayna.
So we've ruled out Aleister Black because these in our heads are more immediate call-ups.
Yeah.
And Aleister Black is of course out injured.
And also he's gonna, I think they'll resolve the who hit Aleister angle whenever he comes back. So
And not the Undisputed Era, because we just don't even want to tempt fate, do we?
No, but I think they should stay for a while. Until there's space for them where they're gonna be really like the biggest. They need to be the biggest thing when they go, and I hope they are.
We've actually got a question in the mailbag bit about a potential Undisputed Era call-up. So we will discuss that later on. But first off, I'm going to kick mine off with Lars Sullivan to Raw. Caveat with Paul Heyman as his manager.
Okay, explain.
Discuss. Well,
the interesting thing about Lars Sullivan is what I like, and the billing for him is that he's both a genius and a monster. So he doesn't necessarily even need Paul Heyman. Is I think kind of the, but so, then then I guess you can then package him with Paul Heyman as the complete package. Is that, you know, his ring IQ is genius level, but
yeah,
and he's gigantic and therefore very difficult to beat. But he's also really smart and all this other stuff. Like, and then Paul Heyman is just there to really hype him, because I guess that's the one thing. The one problem with Lars Sullivan is sadly that even before he broke his jaw, he had a bit of a lisp and he sounds a bit ridiculous talking. So he could do,
in comparison to like the huge Jack Kirby drawing that he is.
Yeah, and exactly. Well, in comparison to someone like Braun Strowman, whose voice
really suits his build.
Yeah, he's got this incredibly impressive like growl. And, you know, as his...
And that's
as,
his normal voice.
And as, it, and as his entrance music says to you as well, like, he can just roar. I don't... you can't see Lars Sullivan really doing that. So, yeah, actually, maybe it is... I'll take it back. It is
You've
quite...
You've come
it,
round.
It is a good... I'm into it now.
Well, I mean, so I really like Lars Sullivan. I like the way he wrestles and flails around.
Mm.
That he's got this kind of wild approach to stuff. He's still, like... He's still not main roster ready... In my eyes, mm-hmm. like I would say, like Velveteen Dream isn't on my list for the same reason. I still think he needs to be. He needs to iron out a lot of kinks. But Braun Strowman wasn't main roster ready, and the way they booked him and packaged him with different people really helped him become what he is today. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that NXT's really good. The NXT doesn't really have any small guy, any large guys that they've. I don't know if they're as good at booking them. If no. there's one thing that Vince can do, it's book big guys. And Lars Sullivan is just screaming out for that.
Mm.
And if I brought him up, I would rejig the character somewhat. I wouldn't play up. I wouldn't make him like a caveman rage monster. He'd still have a brain, but he just wouldn't talk. And Paul Heyman would do all the advocating for him. And yeah, Paul Heyman wouldn't really be a strategy guy. But he isn't really a strategy guy for Lesnar either. Mm. Unless it's... faking a breakup, getting really emotional about a breakup, pepper spraying Roman Reigns, and then it was all a ruse. Unless it's that kind of strategy, which I never want to see again. but yeah, I think Lars Sullivan, it just screams out raw to me. He looks like a raw talent.
It was interesting, isn't it, with the, like you were saying about NXT's booking of monsters. They don't really do that, but they actually do monster booking.
Yeah.
They just do it with your Aleister Blacks and your Askers.
Yeah.
And they do it with people where it feels like their combat skill is what gets them over, not their size. Like they are undefeatable because they are karate masters. They're not karate masters, obviously. Like, he's Muay Thai and Asuka does bum bounces or whatever it is. Hip attacks, as it's called.
That martial art.
Yeah, the famous martial art, the pelvis.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of how they've always put them on. The tag division has a few more, like, has always had a few more, like, monstrous, like,
Authors sort of Pain, Authors of Heavy Pain, Machinery. Heavy Machinery,
and now War Raiders are getting the same
yep.
billing. So they've kind of always, I think it's always been localized to that specific division within NXT, and then their main guys and the guys they really push to be the champion are always kind of smaller people, but who have overwhelming skill.
Plus, they're booking for a particular audience, a particular type of wrestling fan, and your Ricochets, your Adam Coles, your Aleister Blacks, your Champas, your Garganos, they're all going to appeal to that wrestling audience. And Lars Sullivan, as much as I enjoyed that match with Black, like, you know, no one really, I don't think anyone really got excited about that. They were just like, oh yeah, it's nice that Lars is one of our own. It's nice to see him get up there. But no one really buys into... NXT fans don't seem to buy into guys if they're just booked because they're big. Hopefully that changes with Keith Lee. So yeah, I think Lars Sullivan is just a natural fit for the main roster. What have you got first one?
Well, I'm going to start with Velveteen Dream. Because somebody said, I don't see him going up. I mean, like, I think Raw... he'd fit in with their mentality of having moments over storyline, and he would be a similar sort of thing to sort of when you trot out Finn Balor in full paint to do something. Velveteen Dream would have a lovely pay-per-view entrance on Raw. However, I actually think he should go to SmackDown because...
Oh, really?
I think the thing with Dream, and I think we've discussed this on the NXT review and stuff, is that Dream is really good when he's paired with someone who is incredibly good.
He will be incredibly good in like 2 years.
Yeah, he's a rising star. He's not there on the call your own match kind of deal. And so his takeover match with EC3 was kind of flat for me. And I think because both guys need a bit of work at the moment, and he didn't. And so then his match with Black and his match with Ricochet were both fantastic. But you've got to think that it's Black and Ricochet doing a lot of the calling and a lot of the, we should do this, we should do that. And he's very good at being the foil to all of that stuff. Send him to SmackDown, and there's loads of people that he can do that with. He can do, and then I think it also feeds into the idea of like these different, there's all these characters on there who are similarly charismatic and similarly show-offs and all that kind of stuff, and you can pair him with people like Nakamura to have feuds, and Jeff Hardy to be
who's
more charismatic kind of deal. And then he's got the backup of being with these kind of top level guys who've been in the industry. I'm not Jeff Hardy, but this, you know,
that sounds like a really interesting feud.
I think Jeff Hardy and Dream would actually work together really well.
Like, imagine that the pay-per-view entrance for Dream,
yes,
and how like what he would come out, his version of Hardy's.
Yes, exactly. I think he's got a lot of stuff to work with, because also his stuff is so referential as well. Like, he's
very creative.
Yeah, he's very, and I think the SmackDown roster gives him a lot of ability to play with those ideas. And then a lot of people to learn from, and a lot of people to make look good as well. It's the one thing we've said about Dream is that he's the kingmaker in NXT. He makes people look good. He makes himself look good as well in the process, but he really makes other guys look fantastic. So
from a character perspective.
Yeah, from a character.
Not from an in-ring perspective.
Yeah, not from. Yeah. He makes other people seem amazing. So I would just love him to go to SmackDown and carry on doing what he's doing, and spend those 2 years getting really good doing that. Because he's kind of run out of stuff to do on NXT as well, I think.
Yeah, there's only so many proving matches he can have, and now he's won. He won one. Yeah, where do you go from there? Because I don't think he's NXT Championship material. He could go for the North American title, I suppose. Now they've got a mid-card belt, as it were. But yeah, him on SmackDown excites me a lot more. Unless he just gets Tyler, but put in a tag team with Ty Dillinger.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that. Or he could be paired with R-Truth, and it could sort of be if Prince and hip-hop met.
Mm. Well, I will give you a SmackDown one to raise your SmackDown one.
Go for it.
Pete Dunne on SmackDown. So he's also NXT UK. He's the current UK champion. I don't think he's ever going to lose that belt at the moment.
No,
should he.
Well, no one wants it because it's been in his mouth.
Yeah. It's got your spit all over it.
Yeah, it's gross.
So I think that obviously WWE have this NXT UK brand, but I feel like, so NXT is probably gets 10% of the viewership. That's probably generous. 10% of the overall viewership of Raw and SmackDown. So small subsection. And the NXT fans that know about NXT UK is probably like 3% of that 10%.
Yeah, it's going to be small to begin with.
Yeah, definitely. So you've got that tiny bit. So a way to appeal and open up the future NXT UK brand, if it ever happens on the network, would be to get a few UK top guy talents onto a SmackDown or a Raw. And I think Paige, she's got that. She is English. She's like, hey, UK's great, by the way. I'm going to call up, like, if Nakamura goes on this United States of Nakamura rampage, and he holds it for ages, bring up Pete Dunne as the UK champion versus the US champion. And, Dunne is ready. Like, he's a guy, he's got enough charisma, he's fantastic in the ring. He could just walk in there and be an amazing upper-mid tweener. And then in a couple of years, probably going for the secondary title in the company.
Absolutely. I think also because I think the idea is that he's going to have to drop it at some point, isn't he? Like, it's one of those things where someone like a Zach Gibson or someone like that is going to finally wrest the title from him. But then I think he's going to end up on a full-time contract. They're gonna offer it to him. Surely. He's on so many shows anyway of NXT and on various pay-per-views that he might as well have one anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it would be nice to see him on a regular basis on your televised programming.
He's just so different from everyone else.
Being awesome. Because, he feels like, you know, he feels like the modern William Regal.
Yeah.
Crossed with a sort of Triple H-y style-y kind of thing. Like,
I think that's why they love him.
Yeah,
like,
and
you
that's
know,
the thing.
The best buds, Regal and Hunter.
Yeah, absolutely. He appeals exactly to the guys who do the booking.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Triple H takes over the main roster stuff, expect to see him there. But it would be nice if it was like this week.
Yeah, you know, that would be nice. Who have you got?
So, as you've picked a lot of the big guys, I have gone for Dakota Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think is kind of a bit of a loose end, really. Like, she was feuding with Lacey Evans for a while, and not into it. But prior to that, she'd had the whole sort of scare fest with Shayna Baszler.
Where
Shayna Baszler was terrorizing her and the arm thing. And that's kind of been a constant, her getting over this thing has been a constant throughout her career in NXT. You've suggested that we'll get onto it, that Shayna Baszler goes up. And I think Shayna Baszler is most likely going up. But we'll discuss the reasons. We'll discuss the reasons why Baszler's going up and where she's going afterwards. But I think with Baszler gone, that is the last dangling thread of Dakota Kai's kind of NXT career anyway. It's like, how does she get over whatever happened with Baszler, all this other stuff? If Baszler's gone, there's nothing for her to do. Let's send her to Raw. I think if you send her to Raw, I would like to see her in a tag team with Bayley. I just think they're... combo. I think they're like
the characters suit each other.
Suit each other really well, and I consider it. I mean, like, this is me just being stupid now, but considering that Raw is mostly about who's friends with who in the women's division, tag her with Bayley. Sasha's annoyed because Sasha's meant to be best friends with Bayley. Feud between Dakota Kai and Sasha Banks.
Ooh, well, I hear this
immediate.
I hear. Banks and Bayley are being best friends, and Dakota Kai comes up and she's like, "Oh my god, you're so amazing, Bayley! I love you, I love you." And Bayley's like, "Oh, thank you very much." And then it starts to get a bit obsessive, and that's like it's almost like
AJ Lee thing,
yeah, like a Dakota Kai heel obsessive fan tan. Why not?
I think she's done. Like, I just think she's done in NXT. She needs to go somewhere.
And Raw's women's division really needs to kick up.
We need some people, and yeah, I just think like it's. I also just want to smash up the Boss and Hug connection in any way, shape, or form.
Break that up, because
they haven't even got to the bit where there are even tag titles yet, and I'm already done with it.
Yeah. Every interview it's mentioned. I think they're coming. So I'm gonna also go to Raw, EC3. I just think he's not really like how Lars Sullivan is a main roster guy. EC3, as fun as NX3 is, and as great as promos as he is as well, I just he's not an NXT wrestler. He's not like an indie guy. His look is so incredible. He's so in shape, and he's so good at promos and facial expressions. But it's the wrestling where he's not as stellar as everyone else, because the NXT standard is so high that's more suited to a more image promo focused product.
Yeah, missed the boat on NXT really, because he came in after Bobby Roode already left. Yeah. And I think had Bobby Roode still been there, he would have seemed much more like a contender for the championship, because it's a very similar style that he wrestles to Roode. However, that generation has now moved on, and we're now in the sort of post Almas, post Aleister Black, highly focused on Ciampa and Gargano and their
Undisputed Era
and the very indie wrestling style that is the main focus of that show now.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, he would be great on Raw, I think.
Yeah, and Raw as well, as opposed to SmackDown. He looks box office, as Vince always likes to say. And essentially his gimmick is that he's got loads of money.
Yeah. And they do like that.
Vince loves a gimmick with loads of money,
because then they can bring in a limo. They can rent a limo for a bit. They can have it come in. Oh, it'd be great.
You're just like me.
Yeah, well, especially now.
You're a baby face.
Well, now, because they can't have Sasha coming in a limo anymore at her, because she's not really done anything on a pay-per-view for a while.
Snoop Dogg's my cousin, by the way.
And it's a bit stupid to come in a limo and then have Bayley run over the top of the limo and then fire off the two, the flappy guys.
Not if Bayley climbs out the sunroof and then out of the sunroof...
comes... Oh, okay. Maybe that's it. Okay, yeah. Well...
Who have you got?
EC3 can stay on NXT and we're doing that instead. So, this is just... I guess, like, a few of mine you could just combo together, but I thought... the likes of Street Profits and the Mighty could go to Raw. Raw tag division needs teams. And I think both of these teams are sort of... Street Profits, it just feels like their time is never really going to happen now. I think there was a point maybe 6 months ago where it was getting big, because they when they started off, they were just cutting promos on their phones and doing all this really fun stuff. They're both really charismatic, really funny guys, and really talented in the ring. And I just think they're kind of reaching that point where you might as well just send them up, because they're not going to, like, I feel like the next few NXT tag champs are sort of lined up now. We've got War Raiders coming in, who are going to be a sort of face team, I guess. And then I imagine you sort of do, like, the booking tends to be face heel, face heel, face heel, face heel, face heel, all the way down the line. So the Street Profits don't really fit that mold. The Mighty, also because of injury, etc., they've never really, like, they're in the middle of a bit of a push now because of their switch to being heels and changing from TM61 to the Mighty. However, I just don't think they're, again, they're not going to capture the tag titles off anyone anytime soon. So you might as well just ping them on up to Raw, have them start being involved in that mix, because the top level guys, I think, with any luck, is going to end up being the Revival. And then I think we're going to maybe, hopefully, relive some of the Revival AOP magic that you got in NXT. But then you're going to need that next level down.
Yeah.
And that's where
your Heath Slaters and Rhinos come in. Your Heath Slaters and Titus Worldwide. Yeah, exactly.
All these people are in there already, but you put someone like the Street Profits in, who are actually incredibly charismatic, very good promos, funny in a way that isn't contrived like the B Team. And you, I think you've got, like, an organic sort of middle bit of your tag division.
You add depth.
You suddenly have a bit of your tag division that might not be in title contention, but exists in a way where people actually want to see them and are excited about them coming out, and they're not just like, oh, it's Titus Worldwide again.
Well, it's what Enzo and Big Cass used to have.
Exactly, yes.
I'm gonna, we've already mentioned it, Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler.
Purely because I feel like there's not much else she can do on NXT. No. Plus, if the idea is to have this MMA versus WWE Four Horsewomen feud, I'd love to see Baszler come up, start to tear through Raw Women's Division, separate to Rousey, and their friendship and history is acknowledged, but they never really cross. And like, Shayna can be a bit of a heel, and Ronda's like, ooh, you're my friend, but that was a dick move.
Yeah.
And then they have to team together in this Four Horsewomen faction, and eventually that relationship implodes down the line.
You can see them you can see them straining it in that, like in the Four Horsewomen match as well. You can see Baszler going too far on someone, and Rousey having to be like, "You need to, you need to get back over here." Even though she broke Stephanie's arm this week, and apparently that's a face move.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break her arm.
I only break nasty people's arms, and you're a nasty person, Stephanie.
But she, Alexa Bliss.
But Alexa Bliss can't work if she's got a broken arm.
You've deprived her
of her living.
What's your fourth?
Let's, yes, so Velveteen Dream. Heavy Machinery. Another tag team.
Where would they go?
Well, I don't think Raw is the place for Heavy Machinery. I think we've already got some fairly heavy set tag team stuff going on there with the AOP. Although Heavy Machinery could finally get that shot at the AOP that they never actually got in NXT. That was always teased and never happened. So that there's potential in that, but I think they would be better suited over on SmackDown with the likes of, I think because SmackDown's teams, while tweeners, I think more than faces, like the Usos are pseudo. I think everyone's sort of pseudo or tweeners now. It's not. I think they skew on the darker side of like the Usos gimmick. While they might be presented as faces, it's quite mean. The Bar are quite mean. The Bludgeons, Sanity. It's only really the New Day that are out and out like, let's be happy. Like,
And there's still a three-man team that occasionally has shenanigans.
Exactly.
Not so much these days.
So I think Heavy Machinery would slot into that space nicely. And I think, because, again, I just think that the NXT tag division is on lock for a while now. So it just makes sense to just clear them out, get some new ones in.
And they're a great look.
They've got really fun moves. They're like too cool but really large. Like, you know, with the worm or whatever it is, the caterpillar that he does. They're really they're just fun, and I think they'll be a good antithesis to a lot of the style of the current SmackDown tag team division, filling a similar space to the New Day, but probably nowhere near as popular.
Yeah. And that would be a good one to sort of not just turn up one week, but you build their debut with promos.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sort of act. I've got as my last pick, I've also got a tag team to SmackDown. It's the team up with Pete Dunne. It's Mustache Mountain. And again, as another way to build the NXT UK brand, the Sendais that way. Hey, look at these fun guys. They're amazing. Just think of the matches they could have with The Bar, with The New Day, with Gallows and Anderson, if they're ever booked correctly. It does make SmackDown's tag division too deep, I think. I think you'd have to... You need to do this anyway, NXT call-ups or not. Put some of those SmackDown tag teams on Raw just to freshen up Raws. They've got, since Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt have gotten injured, they've got the Revival and Authors of Pain have been booked into oblivion, joke champions, and then a bunch of undercard acts.
They really didn't, they didn't do very good deals in the whatever the superstar shake.
It was like, a terrible whatever
the decision was about what got shuffled around. They were like, well, we'll take these people, and they just only thought about the top level, and they went, these ones.
Yeah.
And then they just went, yeah,
you can keep Reigns.
And they just went, you can have whatever you want from the rest of the roster. And SmackDown just cleared them out. Yeah. They just went, yeah, fine, yeah, all of these, we'll have this.
Well, that's because Paige is an awesome general manager. Mm. Kurt Angle's an idiot in kayfabe. Your last pick is a great shout that I didn't even think about.
My last pick, Matt Riddle.
Of course.
Let's have his entire NXT career just be waving and doing this, and then let's just send him straight up to the main roster. I think SmackDown is a good place for Matt Riddle. I just think most of the people suit his style a bit more there. Mm-hmm. Unless you were going to do him with like an advocate on, like if you're going to do a Paul Heyman style thing with him on Raw and just be like, because you could almost do it with tension between the two of them, because Matt's probably not going to play along with what Paul is saying or trying to book him into, which might be a fun way to do his character. But I would prefer to just see him come into SmackDown and immediately go into feuds with the likes of Daniel Bryan and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
And just see them all absolutely kick seven bells out of each other.
Yeah. He could have that kind of Kurt Angle rookie year where you come in, maybe you win some tournament and you pick up the Intercontinental or US title and then the top title by the end of your first year. Yeah. He's so good. He's so charismatic. He's the sort of guy that can break through a very obsessive wrestling fandom into the mainstream, I think, especially with the ladies.
What was that?
It was for the ladies.
Fine. I just think with him, it would be nice. I just think the problem is, the thing I worry about, it's the benefit of having him in NXT is that he'll probably just get to be Matt Riddle in NXT. If he went straight to the main roster, they would go, what's the thing you do? Bros. Yeah, so you're now in the resurrected hype bros with not Mojo, but just Zack Ryder, who's come back. Like, you know, like they would do something like that, like lean too heavily on just one aspect of like his indie career that everyone obviously really likes and likes to say, but isn't such a massive deal that it should be a defining characteristic of what you do. His whole thing is that he's really good and he doesn't wear shoes.
It's, like King of Bros is a great name now.
Yeah.
But it's not a great name 6 months from now with Michael Cole saying it at the start of every entrance for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's the King of Bros. Oh, shut up, Michael Cole.
And that would be, and his whole theme tune would just be bro, bro, bro.
Like, that might not be too bad. No,
I don't think.
Dun, 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 bro. Dun, 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 bro. Should we get on with some Patreon shoutouts?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We were just talking about NXT, and do you know what? If you go over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page, click the link in the video description below, or if you're listening to this on podcast form, I think there's a link in the podcast description that you downloaded. Just search.
Use a search engine.
Yeah, WrestleTalk Patreon.
But
yeah.
If you use Bing, we will judge you.
Yeah, we don't actually want your money if you use Bing. But if you do, and we reach 750 Patreons, we're very close to that right now. We might have even passed it because we're recording this in advance. We will do...
Give us a ding if we have passed it, just in case. Celebrate now.
Hey, we're doing NXT reviews,
yeah.
Or not.
Weekly NXT reviews with Fakador here and Luke once he's back from holiday. But thank you to all the $25 a month or more Patreons who have helped us to this goal so far. You get a shout out, a WrestleTalk Hall of Fame induction ring on this show. Jonathan the Headmaster Headman.
Juan de Diaz Infante Gauntlet.
Stay hyped, Kyle Rowley.
Do it again.
Stay hyped, Kyle Rowley.
Excellent. The star athlete, Lendl Brenson.
That was your one. You made up that one.
I just think Lendl Brenson sounds like an American athlete's name.
Because I had a different name down for him, and you went, no, he sounds like a star athlete to me. So, yeah, Lendl Brenson.
For you, again, he could also be the gold standard, mm-hmm. Lendl Brenson.
Name your price. Michael, name your price.
Most space, one word, like Madonna.
Get in my arc, Noah Trombley.
Paul E. Dangerously Jarman.
Our legend killer.
Rob Pontin Problems, Pontin.
Stem cell, Robert Stemmen.
I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you. Okay. I trust you as Sam Farah as I can throw you.
The sizable canine, Sean Barksdale. That's a U.
Sean, far from bland, Blandford.
Shimmy Gangot. That's from Zachary Robert Crowley Barros. He chose his own name. Shimmy Gangot.
Good. Watch it. Gangot. Steep climb, James McMahill.
McMahill. Steep climb,
James McMahill.
Because it's a hill. Have a cup of tea,
Hill.
Lee.
The real deal, sex appeal, Andy Puckett.
I love ones where people suggest their own names. And that was...
I like that. I could see someone do
that. Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, for us to bestow that on someone, that's hilarious. But for someone to come in and say, this is my name.
Andy.
I like that. Also, it means less work for us. Caught in a Travis Webb.
Andy rhymes with Puckett. Could have been a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Tricky Vicky Branton.
And rise above Will Hate. If I have missed any of you out, that is because you have donated after we recorded this. So don't fear, because we do have a few more shows left in August. But thank you all so much so far.
Ta.
It's crap gimmicks time. Don't send us any more crap gimmicks for the meantime, because Luke handles these. And it's confusing to go through his email account.
He's got a terrible system.
Yeah, it's good. For him, it might work. For me, I don't know what, like, where he started.
He's been copying them all out by hand, isn't he? And keeping them in a ring binder.
He's got a book, a Filofax of these. Also, he gave me his password.
Foolish.
Yeah, and I was just like, that is such a Luke password. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 at the end of it.
Aww.
This is from Lobo Show.
Does it have 1, 2, 3, 4 at the beginning as well?
Yeah, and it's password. Yeah. Password 1234.
1234, password 1234.
High Flying Fred. Oh, by the way, if you haven't seen Crap Gimmicks before, it's where the SWAF Nation, you viewers, submit terrible wrestling gimmicks and we choose the worst ones.
And we book them on our Crap Gimmick promotion.
High Flying Fred is a 6'7", 403-pound, very precise, extremely unfit bloke who wants to be a high flyer. He wrestles in multicoloured wrestling tights and wears a lucha mask as if he's convinced it allows him to fly through the air easier. For his entrance, he runs down the ramp extremely slow and stops halfway to catch his breath. After Fred has regained his breath, he continues his run, in quotes, down to the ring, and much like Kalisto and Sin Cara, there is a trampoline which he jumps onto. He jumps onto the trampoline, and rather than jumping over the ropes like Sin Cara and Kalisto, he more gets caught up in them and falls through them than gets up like he jumped over them, shouting, "Yeah, I'm a lucha!" His finisher, he slowly climbs onto the top rope with his opponent lying down on the canvas, does a pose, and slowly stands up as if he was about to do a big move. He then proceeds to jump down onto the canvas, attempt a forward roll, then splashes his opponent. He calls this Fred's 450 splash. During his matches, Fred will attempt to do springboard moves. He will stand on the apron, look left and right at the crowd, shakes the ropes so it looks like he's about to do a move, and attempt to jump onto the top rope, fail to do so, then pulls himself over it and drops an elbow on his opponent. Fred sometimes attempts to do Neville's red arrow. He calls this...
I know. The Fred Arrow.
The Fred Arrow. This is the point where you... That's why he's called Fred. Because this whole gimmick started.
Yeah, someone's like, what would...
A Fred Arrow. I'm going to reverse engineer an entire gimmick on that. During this move, he just turns and flips the best he can. Fred also throws his opponent out of the ring and attempts a suicide dive. He doesn't make it over the top rope and then proceeds to go onto the apron and just does a simple double axe handle. He then shouts, extremely out of breath, "I can fly! Woo!" During Fred's promos, he mocks the crowd and his fellow wrestlers for not having masks. After Fred wins matches, he goes up to people in the crowd and touches foreheads with them, much like Rey Mysterio does in his entrance. Fred is clueless about his lack of speed and agility and believes he is the next big high flyer. What do you reckon about Fred?
Just think it's ridiculous to suddenly think you're a luchador just because you're wearing the mask. I just think
you
reckon it's just nonsense.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, it's utterly disrespectful.
Because that you have to train for ages just for the honour to even look at a mask.
The other bits of this I really like. I think I like the idea of like a large high flyer who can't do it. I mean, it smacks of Grado vibes, doesn't it? It's got that similar sort of... Like,
El Grado,
yeah. El Gradior.
I like it too. For me, this is a babyface gimmick. Because everyone's going to get behind the lovable klutz.
Yeah.
But the bit at the end where you talk about him ragging on fans for not having masks.
That's
more of a...
Because are they then going to let him go around and start touching their faces with his big, fat, sweaty face? But I don't know, because it's got bits... Like, it's actually got bits of stuff that people already do, like the Grado getting out of breath, doing roly-polies instead of like cartwheels to escape and all that kind of stuff. Similar thing to the Trent Seven... signalling for the backflip splash and then just doing the fall straight back. Like, the thing is, it just doesn't need to be a whole gimmick, does it?
That's the point of...
Yeah, I know.
Fred Arrow is a gimmick in itself.
Fred Arrow.
Okay, now we have James Shack. My crap gimmick is consisting of former firefighter trainees Darren and Larry called the Hot Boys. Darren and Larry.
That sounds like a thing a hen party goes and sees.
Well, stay tuned. Darren and Larry are the best of friends whose childhood dream was to become firefighters, but unfortunately failed out of the firefighter academy. So the only way for them to keep their dream alive of being firefighters was to become exotic dancers / wrestlers to spread their message of fire safety to their audiences. The Hot Boys would come to the ring wearing firefighter outfits to eventually strip down to their fire design tights. Their entrance music would be made up of crackling fire and a fire truck sirens. Those are very sort of audibly opposed, relaxing on one side and then woo woo woo.
I like it, it's exciting.
Yeah, to then be interrupted by the 2002 pop hit Hot in Here by Nelly.
I thought you would have gone for like the Full Monty, whatever that, Hot Stuff.
Yep, would you could done. Go for that, yeah. Yeah. But
probably a bit before.
I'm getting hot in here, so hot, take off all your clothes. It's a good strip song for the gimmick.
It's a terrible, well, it's a terrible fire safety song, though. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
That's rule one.
Of what?
Of fire safety. It's as not. Soon as it gets warm, you strip down.
You do not
to
strip.
Fit through you any do. Escape holes yeah, more effectively. It.
Yeah.
Cover yourself in flammable lubricant to yeah. fit through those holes too.
You know, my dad used to be a fireman.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did he? Wasn't he exotic fireman? Or
he
was
no regular, plain, boring fireman.
Didn't do any wrestling.
No, didn't do any wrestling. Wasn't in any calendars. Just a regular old fireman. So, yeah, he did actually say, if it gets hot, take your clothes
take
off.
Take all your clothes off.
Because that makes it.
And that's why he's not a fireman anymore.
And that's that's why he got fired.
Do they call it fired in the biz?
I imagine so.
Lots of backstage heat.
Yeah. when you get fired, what actually happens is to fire you, they come round in the engine and then they just squirt the hose at you. And that's how you know. They hand you your belongings in a cardboard box from your desk and then so everything's ruined.
It's brutal. You've come from a firefighting family.
Yeah. This makes me cross.
I've come from a police family.
Oh!
And from what I understand about Luke, he's sort of come from a NHS family. We've got the three big services.
Second generation.
Yeah. And we've all...
we've all talked about wrestling.
Now we talk about wrestling. So their finisher would be where the bigger of the two, Darren, holds his opponent in a fireman's carry, of course, to then have Larry run to the ropes for momentum and drop kick the opponent in the face to have Darren go backwards into a Samoan drop called Flash Fire.
Great name.
The promos are cut by Larry, who is all about getting the crowd fired up, but then interrupted by Darren to remind the audience if they get too hot to locate their nearest exits.
I quite like it. There's more!
Oh, yep, to find their nearest exits and remember that the best way to put out a fire on oneself is to stop, drop and roll. So that could be their catchphrase at the end.
That could also be a move that they do. Like, yeah. It could also be a dodge to, like, a clothesline.
Stop. Then they drop. And
yeah, then they roll. I think there's quite a lot in there.
And you're not that offended?
I'm not massively offended, no.
Not 100%.
Well, it's not my dad doing it, so it's fine.
Well, you know, we haven't cast it yet.
Yeah. Well, fine, yeah. He's not got a lot on at the moment, actually. Yeah. He's been retired for about 10 years, so he's fine.
Stanislaw from Poland comes in with quite a... I don't know where this one's come from, really. The Cult of Holics.
I don't think we should book this one.
No, do you want to hear it?
No, I just think straight away we don't book it.
I mean, yeah, but let's give the
just
guy...
Just on the name, it sounds douchey.
The COH... which is the abbreviation of the Cult of Holics, if you haven't noticed, is a comedy jobber tag team consisting of King Russ, Jake the Jobber, Sam Diver, and Saddam Pachiti. They all come to out to the loop
Saddam
of...
Saddam Pachiti.
Yeah, well, I guess Adam.
No, I know. Sorry, I get the nuances of what they're going for here.
Do you want me to go... Yeah, so
please
it's
do,
Sam
so.
Driver, and he's calling him Sam Diver. If you didn't pick up on that as well. They all come out to the loop of It's John O'Clock and are dressed in ugly black t-shirts with visible sweat stains. However, every time they walk out, they get no reaction whatsoever because the CG dub audience is more tired of them than people are of seeing Brock versus Reigns or like Almas before his star-making match with AJ. That's a weird reference to put in. Their finishes are The Visit at the Zoo, a buckle bomb executed by one of the wrestlers, preferably Jake the Jobber, and The Wankety Wank, the Joey Ryan penis flip. Although they are pretty capable wrestlers, they often either botch the move or hit each other, thus costing them the match. Also, due to their ability to piss off their bosses at CG dub, they get squashed 2/3 of the time. Outside of the ring, they can be usually seen flipping off other wrestlers and cracking Jerry Lawler-style sex-orientated jokes that no one accepts for themselves laughs at. The COH are also there for you if you need to hype up a pay-per-view. For the on-the-go-home shows, they always make predictions of who's going to beat up who, and then after the show, the loser must be humbled / punished. Also, don't bother putting them in storylines. They're not worth it. They are just signed so they can be punished. A lot of phlegm built up in my mouth as I was doing that.
You were essentially frothing at the mouth as you read this thinly veiled jab at Some people who will not be named.
It's an awful gimmick. So we're not signing that one. Anything to say on COH?
I think it's both an awful gimmick and an awful reality.
Yeah. And it's a terrible, terrible gimmick. And whatever you are lampooning there sounds even worse than this.
The thing is, if it was up to me, I'd book him and then just replace him with Simon Miller.
Why?
Who's why?
So who are we going to sign out that we don't have to sign any actor? I've got it. I do like the Hot Boys.
Yeah, I'll take the Hot Boys.
I bet you will. Let's sign them.
I'm not shaking your hand now, Randy.
Allegedly. So after that weird sort of masculine Oedipal exchange there of whatever, you got over that reason.
Yep.
The Hot Boys thing.
That was fine.
So we've got some tweets of questions because I couldn't find the mailbag. But Luke keeps in his emails and he's gone away and he's not reachable. I should just ring him in the middle of his holiday when he's hiking around Canada. So yeah, where's the emails with the questions?
How do I do computers, young man?
Yeah. So Liam asks, who could Adam Cole feud with if he's brought up to the main roster right now?
Ooh. On his own?
Let's go for his own.
On his own. Where would we see him going there?
Well, I see him as a SmackDown guy.
He's definitely a SmackDown. Yeah, I think he's a SmackDown guy.
I think a Daniel Bryan feud right out the gate.
Yeah, you want him to go into that sort of, like, he is essentially going to go into sort of the same Miz spot, I think. However, I think the difference is you can do the Cole that is actually, he's confident but very good and proves it.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, like, the Miz talks a good game but doesn't really have a very good game, and that's always kind of been the case. So, like, I think you could just do the Cole that is a heel but wants to win really desperately, like, as he proved at TakeOver match with Ricochet, where it was a no-nonsense match. Daniel Bryan would be a great one to be, like, because you want, also, the thing is, like, he is, like, a future massive star for the company just waiting to happen. So, and, like, you know, he's already got the most over catchphrase, I think, in all of wrestling, which is just his own name.
Bay Bay,
which, it's brilliant because it makes no sense. And, yeah, he's just the next, like, that top level heel, isn't he?
Yeah, and you don't want people to cheer him too much. Well, you do, but, like, to have such an uber baby face in Brian to go against, the dynamics should sort themselves out. Foyster asks, will you get a zebra-striped jacket? I don't know what the rules are, if I can just get another jacket after I've lost the leopard one. But I think you need a
grieving period.
I won't jump into that.
We'll have a Viking burial for it or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Flaming arrows.
But obviously we won't have the jacket, so we'll just have a picture of the jacket that we set alight in a boat, and then the boat goes in the water.
Otherwise. Yeah. Jeff Wu asks, favorite match this year on the main WWE roster? So that's a limited field there. The Royal Rumble.
The Rumble?
The Rumble match this year I thought was excellent. Really, really enjoyed it. Or the Seth Rollins Iron Man on Raw. I'm sure I'm forgetting loads.
There has been a lot of very good matches.
Not as much as last year in WWE.
I've watched so much wrestling this week.
Yeah.
I've watched over 15 hours of wrestling this week. I'm just a bit like, I can tell you a really good match from the weekend.
Yeah.
AJ Joe was amazing. I also thought AJ's last man standing match with Shinsuke Nakamura was great. That was really fun. And then, yeah, everything else in my mind is just NXT. I think NXT has had a stellar year for matches, and it's difficult for almost anything to be comparable. Ronda Rousey's debut match, I thought, at WrestleMania, I really loved. I thought it was such a well-done, well-designed match, and just really, really enjoyable.
Very historic as well. That's a good pick. Zach Clark, here's the one I alluded to earlier. Would a called-up Undisputed Era versus S.H.I.E.L.D. in a traditional Survivor Series match be the best way to bring them up? Possible idea for next Fantasy Booking Warfare. They would have to go over.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, against the S.H.I.E.L.D., they have to... It's difficult because the S.H.I.E.L.D. are so popular. Like, what I would love to see the Undisputed Era do is come up, like I've said it before, and I would love it to be a multi-brand faction that
has
branches on different, and Adam Cole is the leader. Adam Cole could be this floating talent that turns up on all the different shows at random, and then there are pockets of the Undisputed Era that exist on like Raw and SmackDown are always there, and every so often he turns up to back them up or talk them up or whatever it is. Or, you know, the whole of them could just go around the whole place, like as a five-man group or something.
Well, yeah, if you have them as that kind of act, you'd have to introduce them, like, ideally now.
Yeah,
for that to be built up in time for November's Survivor Series. And then you could almost have, look, it's not brand versus brand at Survivor Series this year. It's this Undisputed Era scourge needs to be dealt with. We're teaming up the Shield with, I don't know, someone from SmackDown. A Daniel Bryan or a AJ Styles to finally quell them.
I just think they're going to work as this across the board faction because you know realistically this is WWE's Bullet Club.
Yeah,
this is their like what this is their formation of that idea. So I think going up, even if it did start dragging in your old Bullet Club talents like Balor and Gallows and Anderson and AJ, eventually become part of the Undisputed Era. That would be blooming cool.
Mm. And WrestleFuzz finally asks, what's the best high-flying move El Fakador has, and why should he be 205 Live champ?
Fakador has many, many high-flying moves. He is a master of the moonsault.
Oh, seriously?
But he does it sort of as on a casual daily, but that's how he gets into bed,
El casual Fakador. Bouncy, when there's a bouncy castle.
Yeah, when there's a bouncy castle. He loves a bouncy castle. Loves a trampoline as well. Used to do trampoline him.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago. Years and years ago.
Rock climbing as well.
Yeah, rock climbing at the moment.
You ever jump off a trampoline and just hang on the wall? Combine those two sports?
I would love to. No, I went to... you've ever been to one of those like trampoline parks that they've started doing now?
Yeah, I went to one...
It's basically an adult's play area.
Yeah, I went to one not too long ago, actually, and I got to the highest point that you could get to, which was, I don't know, about 2.5 meters up.
The roof?
Yeah. That you could access for the trampolines. And I thought, I'm going to do the biggest jump.
Yeah.
And I jumped off to jump on a trampoline just to see what would happen as a 30-year-old. And you know when you get like a dud jump?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't bounce, you just hit the floor. That happened. I don't know the science behind it, but I didn't bounce back up, causing me to fold up like an accordion, and my knees just went straight into my gut, and it winded me brutally. I started crying, and like not crying, but eyes watering, couldn't breathe, and it was my girlfriend's birthday. So that was. What about you?
Well, I was going to say that the closest I've ever got to doing the rock climbing or trampoline thing is one of those trampoline parks had like a parkour wall next to the trampoline. However, they clearly had designated it only for professionals. So the second I did it and jumped on the wall, they went, don't do that anymore. So I was like, oh, well, we're never going to live this dream, are we?
Moonsaulted off. Yeah, just all right, later, guys.
See you later.
Speaking of see you later, that's all we've got time for on today's show. Please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk awesome things. And this button right here, which will make you a Patreon for us and help us get those NXT weekly reviews to happen. I've been Ollie Davis. That's been El Fakador. And that was Rambling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.